This is Maria Rosaris presenting New Voices, a program which interviews brand new writers from all walks of life, deep in the throes of their writing projects. I will interview them, get them to read a sample of their work, then get a total stranger to critique them. In this episode, I interview a poet and lyricist, Jasmine Monk, and I have to say, she did put me through my paces. Well, you know, you do like to believe you're in charge of an interview, that you're gently leading someone through their story. And admittedly, talking to many of our writers has been a dream. I mean, they're wordsmiths. It's their stock in trade. But Jasmine, she says at one point that she selects just the right word. It reminded me of someone maybe making jewellery, picking up just the right gem and placing it just so. So it wasn't as easy as just turning on the faucet and waiting for the right flow and temperature. It was more like I was in the middle of a field of geysers, you know, those hot springs, not sure when they were going to rush out and scald you. Scald. Keep that thought in mind about heat and fire, because one of the facts Jasmine reveals about her writing history really shocked me, yet was one of the most liberating and courageous things I've heard in the literary world. A critiquer, Josh Witkin, is a terrific writer himself, working on his first speculative fiction novel. His day job is as a highly skilled software designer and entrepreneur. I wouldn't have thought that these two would have much in common, quite frankly. And I just loved the idea that someone like Josh could instantly fall in love with Jasmine's beautiful poetry and lyrics. Judge for yourselves. I'm delighted to have on our program today Jasmine Monk. Jasmine, welcome.
Thank you, Maria.
You're also our first poet, and you're a poet who actually writes things specifically for songwriting.
Yes, originally I was just a poetess until I discovered that the spoken word is more powerful and probably has a bigger following. There's probably more people, poets in this world, than there are people who even read poetry.
I've listened to your poetry and your lyrics. What I love about them is that they're deceptively simple. You get down to the core of something and you speak about it with such fragility.
My passion is finding that exact right word that just packs a punch. I guess in songwriting with poetry, it's keep it simple.
I haven't done this before, but because your pieces are small and beautiful and I know that you're quite nervous, I'd like you to insert a poem every now and then we'll continue with the interview. How's that?
That sounds great.
So I know you've got some pieces that you prepared today.
Yeah, today's theme is romance. This is called Busy Heartbeats. Your mind is a wonderland, a candy store. Like a child, I scream for more. I'd cook my fear if you'd burn your entourage. I'm the only one you should adore. Like the sweetest page, I could start anew. For someone like you, I'd kiss away my amber blues. If you were my flame, I'd drink to sobriety. I'd be your wildfire, your hurricane. If you'd be my man, my sugar cane.
Thank you. That's just really lovely. I think our listeners can see what I was talking about. Do you want to talk something about that particular poem and what gave rise to it?
I'm actually one of those probably rare artists that don't enjoy saying the meaning behind my work. I prefer just the listener to take whatever they get from it.
That's a great approach to have.
It's sort of like a canvas. If you cannot appreciate it for its simple beauty, and you have to hear the story behind it to appreciate it, I could give it more meaning, but I just like my work to stand as alone.
I know you do like, though, going to a writer's group so that you can read out your work. What role does that play?
Well, it's a platform for being able to see how my work resonates with other people, and I might write something and have a concept within my head that I'm trying to convey, and when I read it out, people get something totally different from it. It's just that fine-tuning. Certain words resonate with certain people, and some advice I take on board and some I don't.
What kind of feedback nourishes and supports you?
Well, obviously, you got to be gentle with me. Any too harsh criticism could knock me back. But anything that comes from the heart that's sincere and that they think is genuinely justified.
The direction I want to go now is to ask you what your writing journey has been like. So when did you start writing?
Probably since I was about 12 years old, but as I turned into my late 20s, I found myself just, I developed a mental illness, and I found it very cathartic for me to get my, express myself that way.
Wow, okay. And when did you sort of come to grips with your particular condition?
When did I come to grips with it?
Yeah.
Do we ever come to grips with
it? That's a damn good answer. Thank you for that. What asset, or like what advantage do you think that being able to look at the world slightly differently gives to you as an artist?
Well, I'll have to ponder that for one moment.
Well, I've had some really interesting writers been able to deal with the subject matter that they've got by speaking through that slightly different angle. Mm-hmm. So we've had Helena, who speaks as a woman who's married into a Muslim family. We've had Will Roach, who has looked at the world through the eyes of somebody who's gay and a person of colour. There are these little angles that I think at times as an artist can enrich your perspective of life.
There is often a link between the conditions I have with the creative side, with the art, the writing. I'm not really sure if the condition adds to it or just gives me time more to write. Or I know some of it can get dark and angsty. Maybe through that, when people are feeling alone, they can see that through my loneliness, they're not as lonely.
Yeah. I actually have this beautiful little piece that you gave me. Do you want me to read it?
Yeah, you can.
And this is me reading as you, your piece. As an artist, I question how much I'm willing to share and what parts of myself I prefer to keep guarded as I sit here in my courtyard watching the pigeons as the early morning sun splashes gold across the sky. I'm filled with gratitude for the gift of life, as this is what inspires me to write the beauty of nature, the power of love, and the hearts of humanity. I mean, I think that's absolutely beautiful. When you hear that being read, how does it feel about it being shared?
Well, I just hope it's appreciated.
I think that you'll be successful in that. You've got a part-time job. Is there any relationship between the work that you do and...
Well, being a cleaner isn't the most creative thing in the world. So actually, no, my job is my bread and butter, and my creative talents I just do for the enjoyment of it.
Yeah. What about before you were a cleaner, were you able to successfully study or bring yourself to...
Oh, yes. I had my degree in childcare and my beauty diploma. My life experiences in other aspects, obviously it's all incorporated.
Have you seen your own work evolve over time?
Definitely. My first poems I ever got published, I could then think cringeworthy. There was even a bit of old English grammar in there, which I think, gosh, you know.
We all have to go through that.
The 20th century out there published, but... my inspirations come a lot more of contemporary songwriters and something a bit more hip.
I'd like to hear another poem in that romance series.
Sure. This one's called Night Jasmine. Alone again, it's a slumberless night. All this moonlight makes for a strange romance. If love is made without a certain design, I'm not holding back. This time, I'm crossing the line. Oh, you're such a hard one to be had, but I know the way through darkness. I'll defy the ways of touch. Darling, can you feel me when I shapeshift all your dreams? Into your room, I'm picking up your scent like jasmine in bloom. Now that my heart's at your command, is it all in your guarded manner and deliberate smiles, or just for those big brown eyes, I'll let my desire transpire?
Oh, I love that.
That one was put to music.
Isn't it interesting that mm-hmm. it sounds different mm-hmm. when it's spoken mm-hmm. as opposed to sung? How many hours a day do you think you write? Or do you write when the inspiration hits you, or you set yourself a time?
Yeah, mainly when the inspiration hits me. It might be at 2 o'clock in the morning. And I don't allocate certain times for my creativity. I just...
Do you think there are things that inspire you or trigger you, and all of a sudden you have a sudden creative period?
Some writers may write as it comes and it's almost channeled and they'll leave it perfectly as is. I will write a poem and I might come back to the same poem a few years later and think, no, that needs work. I want it to sound the best I think it can sound, so I will rewrite it and rewrite. I can be sitting there with a coffee and a cigarette in my hand, watching the telly, having a conversation.
So how does the craft part of it work for you? How do you fine-tune your ear? I mean, I know time does it. You know, we've all spoken about that on this program so far, that you get better and better, your ear gets more finely tuned. You haven't studied literature, have you?
No, I have never studied writing.
Yeah, and was this the first writers group that...
Yes, this is the first time I've actually put my writing out there, apart from a book 15 years ago, which I ended up burning. I've come to realise after I write a poem, I would usually just give it to my sister and say, is this really weird? Is this really crap? And if she likes it, I'm like, oh, I like it. Now I'm learning to trust my own voice. Mm. Like, I'll write something, and if I think it's good, I know it's good. I don't have to have that validation from other people.
You've piqued my interest with the whole book burning thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, being a writer, book burning seems to me like the most sacrilegious thing on earth. Tell me how you ended up, first of all, publishing a book.
Well,
and then burning it.
Obviously, I've written, as I mentioned, since I was 12 years old. So I had a journal and I went to a one-day writing class. There was a woman there and I just simply gave it to her, thought to look over it to see if it was any good. And she seemed to think it deserved to be published. She went about getting a grant for me and we had 500 books published in boxes
Wonderful.
Under my bedroom. But yeah, second thoughts, I had my big face on the front cover and I realised some of it was a little bit too personal.
You didn't distribute the books, is that?
No, I never end up getting them distributed. I think there's a few miscellaneous copies floating around with friends and family.
Have you thought about maybe resurrecting them now in retrospect?
No, I actually wrote a poem about it.
Can I hear that poem?
It's called Emancipation. I put my past up in smoke last night. Watch those pages get toasted. I am Phoenix emerging from the flame. Keep throwing your poison spears. I dance, I swerve, they won't touch me. If you aren't applauding, kiss my ashes.
Oh my gosh. I got chills hearing that. Now, you talked about the Phoenix, you know, that mm-hmm. imagery, which is gorgeous. Mm-hmm. But also talked about poison spears.
Well, yeah, that's just me coming to terms with my inward demons. But how much of it was in my own head or how many poison spears were really coming for me, that's anyone's guess.
Yeah. I'm going to hound you until you give me a copy of that book.
It's dead and buried.
And maybe that's an artist's choice as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I have no regrets about that one.
Do you think it created a good platform for then progressing as an artist?
Yeah. At the time, because I'd never been published, it was exciting to achieve something like, say, hey, I've got a book published. But if I was to do it again, I would be more selective. Being an artist is a very vulnerable thing. People adore you or deplore you. Some of my greatest icons, women I love to listen to, and you walk into a pub, they'll get slammed, and that's the vulnerability of being a writer and an artist.
Yeah. Yeah, it's that ironic thing. In order to write as finely as possible, you become more and more sensitive.
And I am a very sensitive person. I'm not as sensitive as I used to be. I think being a sensitive person, that's probably why Sia wears a wig, and I get that.
What are you aiming for now in terms of the works that you are amassing?
Currently, I've completed a couple of songs working with a local musician. That may not amount to anything. This may be the pinnacle of it. Or I might choose to just get a bit published in anthologies here and there.
And with the poems that you have collected so far?
Mm-hmm. I'm old-fashioned. I've got a scrapbook here with some typed-up poems on it.
Ah, that's the flicking, yes.
That's the flicking. Sorry, guys.
The themes that you come up with, you know, you go through your blue period, your romance period, do you find that you intersperse them or they come in one lot, like all the romance or all the introspection?
You've got to break it up a bit, like writing too much romance in and out every day is a bit too more romance than I can handle, especially because my romance life, in actual fact, has been pretty barren for the last few years. I'm reaching into relationships I had 10 years ago for a poem, and it's a bit pathetic. I write environmental stuff or stuff about, I think, life in general.
Now, I'm wondering whether we should hear another poem or maybe a short story.
Since we're on the theme of romance, this one's called Blindsighted. Your heart is a blackened space. It dims shadowy places. Did I love you too much? Did I love you too soon? All you gave me was nights and skies with no moon. My mind was filled by you, but it's true I was never your pet. All that's left is regret. Now your absence is bygone, with all I'll never know. And my days are so dark, darker than your beating chest. Darker than a man possessed.
What advice would you give to young poets, or, you know, burgeoning poets, or people who've been storing up being a poet for a long time and all of a sudden when
we've already been through this. I don't give advice. I don't give feedback. I don't give advice. In the words of someone else, follow your heart.
Can we hear another poem?
Sure. This one's called Slowly. I was the kind to rush in, only to run away, run away. This time I'll let love in slowly. I could keep riding the waves of chemistry, but I'm chancing my heart, babe, on certainty. Call it the last dance or a prelude to real romance. This time I'll let love in slowly.
I want to hear another one.
This one is called Crazy. If I came from the right side of town, would I be the girl for you? If I was a rich lady, I'd buy you a house with an ocean view. If I had the best career, owned a car, was a great cook, would I be the one you come home to? Would you post me all over Facebook? Maybe I'm a little bit crazy, a bit too broke, I even smoke. But babe, I never scream or shout. I would be your soft place to land. I would keep all your secrets, give you kisses on command.
It's so gorgeous. Can I hear another one?
This one's called Bittersweet Cravings. There's trouble rising, my heart's in retrograde. Blame it on the scorpion moon or just your educated talk. Maybe I shouldn't think the things I do. Sure, you're somebody else's baby, but your smile only invites the chase. Mister, will it be worth the pain just to feel this way with you? Like some kind of heavenly hell, the higher you take me, I know it's further to fall. And whether I'm on my way up or down, someone's still going to burn.
It's so original, your work. The poetry is a hard thing to sell. It's a hard thing to, you know, for most people to hear. Mm-hmm. Yours is very easy to listen to. Part of it is that it's conversational. The fact that I can't put my finger on it makes it even more enjoyable. Is there anyone who inspires you?
My inspiration probably comes from more contemporary songwriters. Mm-hmm. My favourite girl would be Tori Amos and then all the greats.
Do you listen to a lot of music?
I listen to music all the time. I've always got my headphones in. I also like the inserts of a CD, study when I got into songwriting, the format of words, and so I like to listen to their lyrics as well as just the sound it's making.
Yeah, I know that you said you don't like to give advice to other people, but do you think there are some people who are more suited to poetry than others?
Well, there's a great saying, if you can walk, you can dance. If you can talk, you can sing. If poetry is what you like doing, it's where your passion is, well, go for it. If it's not, don't worry about it.
How do you feel when you have finished it?
There is actually a sense of completion and almost, if you think it's good, proud. I've got it out of my head and it's cathartic.
Cathartic.
Yes, got it out of your head. If you end up burning them, that serves its purpose too, but you've written it down.
Thank you so much, Jazz, for appearing on the program.
My pleasure, Maria.
That was Jasmine Monk reading from a poetry. On to the critique part of our program. Josh Whitkin, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Now, both of us have just listened to Jasmine Monk's beautiful poetry. Well, let me ask what your background is so that we can see where you're coming from in critiquing Jasmine's work.
Yeah, I am an avid reader and a beginning fiction writer and experienced nonfiction writer. Mainly, I just absolutely love reading. I read passionately all the time.
Now, I've listened to some of your work. I was fascinated when you said that you wanted to hear a poet because your work is a dystopian fantasy. It's very crisp writing, clever and witty with a complex plot, and yet you're drawn to poetry.
Yeah, I love poetry. I've tried it myself, and so I have a lot of respect for people who can actually do it well. It's not easy at all. It's just such a different form of writing. Like you say, it's almost unrelated to what you've seen in my work.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just beautiful when people get the words so spare and so precise and so touching. It cuts through so much of the sort of busy work of a novel, the who did what and who went where, and just touches you right on your heart when you just have to sit there and let it touch you.
You know, there's just something so visceral about Jasmine's work. As you say, it just cuts to the core. And yet she does it in this artless way. There's nothing fancy around it.
That's right. And that's where I really admire an experienced poet, because I think when I sit down to write poetry, there's so many wrong ways to do it. And I can watch myself do it wrong over and over.
Oh, yeah. I've explored every one of those avenues of doing it wrong.
Well, her work is masterful in that so many of the lines just hit home across so many different life experiences. We've all felt the thing she describes. It does remind me of contemporary music, how that does the same thing to me.
And you can hear that it is made for music. I was fascinated when I first met Jasmine and we were sitting in the same group, reading out each other's work. And she would talk her poetry. Sometimes she'd have music attached to it. And I'm thinking, how is it that you can write a piece of poetry to begin with and then write it with an ear for music that actually hasn't been composed yet?
I agree. I don't really understand the alchemy that allows you to combine music with words. I've tried it, and it's not easy. Also, even less easy in some ways. Another way is the music sort of moves you along, like a river flows you along, a different beast altogether in some ways. And yet, I can hear the music in her writing. I can almost hear it with music behind it because it is so, it's lyrical. That is the word.
Yeah. Look, there's also a storytelling element to it. It does tell a story, not in the way that you and I as storytellers, you know, start with a plot and embellish it and bring out the characters, but you can almost feel the story behind it, like looming like a cloud, and feel it.
That's really true, yeah. And she told us that this was romance, so that didn't need to be said. It was completely apparent from the poems, and I felt that agony of being tender, of exposing yourself to the risk of a new person, taking the chance to knowing you're probably going to get hurt and yet choosing it anyway. That just, in all her poems, it seemed that I heard there, that impossible decision.
Yes.
She lays it out for you and you brings you right back to times you've been in those moments yourself in your life.
Yeah, because there's a vulnerability, you know, that exposure, you know, that she has, and yet a real steely strength underneath it. Well, I suppose it's part of that experience that she had where she said she wrote something that was so vulnerable that she did not want it to be exposed. And so she burnt those books. For me, I'm still reeling from that. And yet it was a moment of strength. And her poem, The Phoenix, afterwards was like a howl for freedom.
It was. It was. And it was a celebration of the freedom she achieved with that burning.
Yeah.
And as she said, I can explain this. I wrote a poem about it. And
yes.
And her poem nailed it.
And I can tell you, none of that was planned. I had no idea where that interview was going. And all of a sudden, she's got a poem about it. It's like, what an honor to have witnessed that.
I really related to it because I had a similar moment, but it went the other way when I was young. And I was struggling with mental illness. And I wrote a journal that I didn't get it published and then burn it. I hid it and then revealed it. I felt like maybe she and I are ships crossing in the night in that sense. You know, I experienced freedom by sharing it. She experienced freedom by removing it from the public eye. Yeah. And so it's particularly interesting to me personally.
You know, I've dealt with a lot of writers over the last couple of years since being immersed in this world and writing myself. I've never met a writer who is so detached from the publishing process. She does not seem to be interested in what the end product is. Mm-hmm. I mean, every now and then I think she expresses it, you know, she'd like to hear this in music or she'd like to, but not in that way that most writers feel that they're not complete. And look, I put my hand up here. You're not complete until somebody has actually read your work.
That is a fascinating angle on it. Until this year, with my fiction, I was very much like her. And I think there's an enormous number of people out there who write and don't share. And her muse seems to be coming from a point of this poem itself has life. It is a thing in its own. And it's almost like a birthing or a release. And I relate to that. She was almost dispassionate, and yet it was very, very passionate at the same time. So it was maybe the intimacy of her work is striking, right? And I can imagine it must be a very convoluted process to get it out from within her to decide what goes on the page and to preserve the power of the original feeling.
Preserve the power. Because I know that as a writer, that's what you aim for. You have this passion or this idea or this feeling. You really want this character to express it well and for the reader to understand it. And then there's a whole translation process that goes on and suddenly you can go, yes, hallelujah, wonderful, fluid feeling, honey feeling. With Jasmine, I kind of felt that she's so close. There is almost like no very small bridge for her to cross between the feeling and the words as they come out, because there's such a purity there. I don't know if you agree with that.
I got that feeling from it, and I wonder if that's her skill. That's an illusion that she has worked long and hard to make it appear that her words are straight off her heart. It could be that she's one of those lucky people that can just dictate her heart.
Yes.
Or, I mean, she suggested there's a lot of effort, and I believe it from what I've read.
And that thing about self-referencing, you know, that she uses her own internal reference point now rather than needing somebody else to validate it, which must give her a lot of freedom as well.
Finding the balance as a creative person between accepting feedback and listening to your own voice is impossible and very personal. Some of my author friends say, I never show a first draft. It wouldn't occur to me. For me, I love feedback early and often. I hear it, but I can also set it aside and go back to my own heart and say, that's not what this story really is. I see why they said it, but I don't accept it.
Yeah, I think having that confidence as a writer in your own vision for a story or for a piece of work. But I'm just looking forward to Jasmine getting some of those lyrics up. Other people can enjoy it.
I agree. I would love to hear an album that she did. Some of my very favorite writers are songwriters. Because it's set to music, it stays in my life decades and decades. The way I can't get poetry to stick like that.
Yes.
But songs do. Yeah, they go on my playlist and they stay in my life.
Because they're working on so many levels. There's some music, you know, there's that part of your brain, and then there's the words, and then there's the whole, as you called it, alchemy that happens between the two.
You know? Exactly.
Yeah. Writing is not your day job.
Correct. Writing is not my day job. I am a software designer by trade and I'm a techie.
Yeah.
I've written since I was a kid. Like, I love writing and I always have. And it's definitely something that's in my life.
Look, we're a diverse community and I can pick up that you're not born in Australia.
Correct. Yes. I am a dual citizen, San Francisco, and then I moved here. I adore Australia. There's definitely an Australian voice. The Australian voice is less well known. Find Australian writing really compelling.
We have to have you back as one of our new writers so we can hear some of your work, Josh.
I would love that.
Yeah. So thank you very much for coming in and critiquing.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
And that was Josh Witkin doing such a wonderful job of critiquing Jasmine's work. Wow. Details of where to get copies or obtain access to Jasmine's current poetry will be on the 2RPH website. This is Maria Rosaris, and it was a pleasure to bring you this program, produced in the Sydney studios of 2RPH with the support and inspiration of the Community Broadcasting Foundation. I look forward to your company next time.